Live from the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, SEC Media Days with Mike and Shane starts now.
Welcome in. Day 3's SEC Media Days. Let us know if you can hear us. Let us know if you can see us. We literally never know. How's it going, buddy?
It's going good, man. It's going real good. Day 3. This is kind of like that one spot where it's just like we're almost there. I mean, at first, it's the anticipation's high. We're so excited. Day 3, it's just like, ugh, man, I need something. And then you get Billy Napier and Kalen DeBoer up there. And it was like pulling teeth, but we did get some good content for you guys today.
Hey, Razor Bass says, we can see you perfectly, unfortunately. Well, they always know how to ground us, Shane. Shout out to, you know, who doesn't ground us, Shane.
He's
propping us up. MyBookie, come on. Presenting sponsor this week, SEC Media Days. They're paying for our way to be down here. And you can show them some appreciation. Show them some love. Go to MyBookie.ag. Put in that promo code SEC with your initial deposit. And they are willing to match it, whatever you put in, 100%. This week only over at MyBookie.ag with that promo code SEC. Doesn't get much better than that, does it?
No, it doesn't. Absolutely not. And free money is free money. So take advantage of it while you can, because, again, remember, they do change it a lot of times toward later into the season. And right now you can get 100. It's a lot better than 50%. So take advantage of it. And it helps the show. Appreciate you.
And you know what doesn't change, Shane?
What doesn't change?
JR. What a legend, JR. Let's play his little jiggle here. He's donated another membership. We're on the road. We're late. We're doing all kinds of crazy
legend
stuff.
Cousin JR has but done JR it again.
This time. He's done it again, Shane. This time it's Burnt Orange, Texas. Burnt.
Welcome to the family.
And then we got one more, Shane.
Oh.
Yeah,
I see it. Snake. What a cool name.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa.
Rattlesnake.
Steven Up. Roll
that's
Tide.
That's who he gifted it to. I got it right here. Steven Up. Appreciate you, cuz.
All right. Welcome
to the family.
Off to a great start here. But shout out Steven Up. Shout out JR. Shout
Hell
out all
yeah.
the cousins
Thank
for showing
you
up. We are, man, this has been a wild one, like you said, Shay.
Yeah.
I think we've had more interviews today, and we even later in the day. You know, it's kind of hard to explain. It's very unique, but some people are just here for, like, Oklahoma. So the Sooner Scoop guys, we just recorded with them.
Yeah.
They're only here today. So if they say, hey, we can get you at 5 o'clock or we can't get you, we say, all right, you got us at 5. You know what I mean? So
That's right.
We're trying to get in all the content we possibly can. We're going to be editing and pushing out these videos as soon as we get home from SEC Media Days. But boy, do we got a lot of them. You know what?
Yeah, we do. And, you know, we still got another day, man. You know, we're going to get to all the great content today, but tomorrow we're going to have Drink over here. We'll probably have Sam over here. There's going to be some more, plenty of college content. And if your team's not represented, we had a Vanderbilt, Mike. We started the day with the Vanderbilt interview, and I'm telling you, every team will be touched on.
And you know, I don't know how to transition from touch. I was going to try that. I was like, no.
Speaking of touch.
Shout out JR. Shane, he just gifted 5 memberships to the channel. Shout out.
Oh, yeah.
Double D. That's the Flying Hawaiian's code name. Ram Dog, Swamp Donkey. These names so very common. And Sean Mandrill.
Welcome to the family.
Hey, I think that's the first time in history we ever said it at the same time. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's tough when we're at different spots, you know, because I'm sure there's a delay. But, yeah, we actually nailed that one. So, appreciate you, cuz.
We'll never do it again. Well, speaking of never do it again, Shane, it's Alabama Day here.
Yes.
Let's start with the Tide, because cousins know they've been listening to this show very high in Alabama. I'm going to be picking Alabama to win the SEC.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm regretting it, but I didn't even think about this when all the Nick Saban nonsense started this week, and there's probably less than 1% shot Nick Saban ever returns college football coaching. But guess what? Kalen DeBoer comes in here, first question asked. Let's kick it over to it. I've got some thoughts on this.
Over here?
Right. There we go. Okay, there we go.
Appreciate it. Just because it made news a few days ago, what was your initial reaction to hearing Greg McElroy's report that Nick could be considering coming back to football and coaching? Just what would that mean?
Well, I mean, he's, you know, one of the greatest to ever do it. And so he's earned the right to, you know, do what he wants. I think the best part about what Coach Saban's doing right now is that he's still involved in the game. You know, he's growing the game. He brings passion to it. You know, I enjoy when I get moments of, you know, on a Saturday morning, maybe we got a night game, flipping on the TV and seeing not just him, but the whole group, game day and all the different ways that they break things down. You know, having a chance to see him once in a while, you can just feel that, you know, he still has that love for the game. You know, and I think that, you know, my sense is that in that he's enjoyed doing it in the capacity he's doing it right now. And but, you know, I think everyone who is close to him and, you know, I know from the fan base standpoint, can't help but want to, you know, him to be happy doing whatever he wants to do.
All right, Shane. So, again, first question, Nick Saban. And here it is, man. I am, again, it was going to be always an impossible task to replace Nick Saban at Alabama, whoever that coach was. But this is exhibit A, why you want to be the guy that replaces the guy, or the guy that replaces the guy that replaces the guy. That makes it two coaches away. This is never going to go away. And again, I'm picking Bama to win the SEC, but anything short of that, I think these fans are going to eat this guy alive.
Yeah.
Got no shot. And I think we saw that last year. We were told he was an elite coach. He may be. But I'm starting to question whether he ever will be at Alabama, because this is never going away, seemingly.
I feel bad. I feel bad. You know what I feel bad about? My brother. His entire life, he's had to hear about his big brother's best looking, the smartest of the family. You know, there was some people wondering if he was adopted. Not me. But I am just saying, I understand where he's coming from and flying Hawaiian. Thank you for all your help this week behind the scenes. We couldn't have done it without you. And, you know, to be honest, Kalen DeBoer could not be having the success he's having without the man we're talking about here. So, you know, I'm going to spin it. I understand DeBoer living in the shadow, but brother, you signed up for this shit. You think about the first media days you rolled to, Mike. Do you remember that lobby down there in Birmingham? Is that where it was? Is it Birmingham? Hoover.
Yeah, Hoover was the first one I went to.
Yeah, and that lobby was absolutely loaded with Alabama Crimson Tide fans. And guess what? We had a few here, but it was nowhere near the buzz that it had back then. So I turn it on you, Kalen DeBoer. You answer these questions. How do you stop getting questions like this on media days? You take this program to the level that they expect, and that is a college football playoff that's bringing titles back to Titletown.
Yep. Great. Cousin Trey Tucker says, Flying Hawaiian flipping you off as you say these comments. Hey, shout out Cousin Zach Neshert. Shane, he just gave us $10. Sup, Cousins?
Hey, oh yeah.
Became an official cousin this month, going to Knoxville for the Oklahoma-Tennessee game, and would love some good places to eat. Boomer. Places to eat in Knoxville, Shane. I mean, there's so many.
Yeah.
But if I am traveling to Knoxville for the first time, I go straight to the Old City.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, like a mile away from campus, not far at all. The Strip used to be cool when I was a student. It's not cool anymore. Although Peyton Manning's bar is down there, but he's asked specifically for food. Go down to the Old City, and they have this place called Market Square where they got 10, 12, 15 restaurants.
Yeah.
Not a bad one there, and a wide variety. So you go to Market Square, you go find something good. Any recommendations for you?
Well, I mean, there's several Cracker Barrels that you're going to stop to along the way, but truthfully, he's not wrong. There's really not a bad place. I mean, was it Tupelo Honey I had, the soccer tacos. We had Alyssa Lang on. Oh, little name plug there. We're going to have that interview later. But she was talking about the ice cream parlor, the Cruz Farm ice cream. You can't go wrong with that. I got a buddy. He swears up and down by that falafel place. I need to check it out. I just can't convince the wife to try it. And I'm not going to drive to Knoxville just to have it. But maybe. But I will also say this. I went down to the mall, and I hate the mall. I absolutely hate the mall. It's just, to be honest, I'm a big guy. I don't know if you can tell from this camera angle, but I'm a rather large guy, so I have limited shopping experience. If it's not Dick's Sporting Goods, I'm shot, man, unless I'm buying a hat. So I went down there, the Loco Burro Brother. Wow. Absolutely fantastic.
You know what else is fantastic, Shane? Steven up.
Back. Hey, thanks, cuz.
Just gifted five
Always
memberships.
Showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa.
But,
buddy, it's Steven up.
Steven up. Just gifted.
Roll Tide.
Spencer.
Hell yeah.
The Hog Father, Kay Slay, Steven, and Tay Massey.
Welcome to the family. Family.
You're right, Shane. This is a little bit easier. We're at the same place. But thank you, Steven up. Thank you so much.
Thank
That's
you. Thank you,
six memberships he has donated. And we also got Cousin Ben, Shane, member for 10 months. Can't wait for the beat down. The dogs are going to get Bama this year. Thank you, Cousin Ben. Although this is Bama Day. We don't.
Isn't it wild? It doesn't feel like Bama Day. Now, and I'm not saying, again, this is the first time in a long time that we've not just been like, who is Alabama bringing this time, you know? We had the Pavia magic. We've had the Lagway up here. We've had Archmania, you know, there's been some substantial gatherings around. Even John Mateer had quite a grouping down there. Bama, not so much. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You know what I'm saying? Because we've talked to several Bama folks, and a lot of them are saying, hey, we don't, kind of like Georgia, we don't have that guy, but we have a lot of really good guys. And those are the good guys are going to take us back to that next level.
Yeah, but you know what they do got down there, Shane?
What's that?
According to Kalen DeBoer, why didn't they go get a portal quarterback? Get all these up? Because we got – there wasn't a better one than the one we got on the rock.
And you decided to go with internal options to replace Jalen Milroe. Just the decision behind not pursuing a quarterback in the portal and instead evaluating guys that you have in the program already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just felt like anyone who was reaching out to us or that was there, you could really not make an argument that they were better than what we had, you know, and that's just hopefully another level of confidence that we had some players in our program that we believe in, Ty, Austin, and then knowing Keelan was coming in too. And, you know, the skill sets are there. There's inexperience, and that's probably what you would be gaining, I guess, if you brought someone in, would be some experience. But there's also growth to our offense. There's also a level of understanding. And, you know, it's just a matter of honing in on the tools and the skill sets our guys have. I still feel like we made the right choice.
All right, Shane, I'm back in. I was out on Bama. Now, why didn't we go get a portal quarterback? Because we got some three damn good ones right here. This is a little coach speak, but I love to hear it.
I do, too. And it'd be one thing if it was a team I didn't believe in, but I believe them. I do think that this is a big, strong quarterback room. And I think that's important because, you know, a lot of times we talk about the guy, but we don't talk about those guys. And Bama, having that talent, having that depth, I think that's important to make that run because if something happens, because injuries are going to happen, Mike. I mean, look at all the starting quarterbacks that played last year. How many of them had 12 complete games? Not that many. You'd be surprised. So, yeah, having that depth back there, plus, you know, there's an X factor in there. We'll get to him probably later in the season. Hopefully don't need him right now. But there's some studs back there.
Yeah, and shout out Army, Keelan Russell, number two player in the country. They'll be fine at quarterback. So, again. But we're going to know quite early with Alabama, unlike some years, Shane, with at Florida State, mm-hmm. Wisconsin at home. Now, they should crush those teams, but who knows? Should have crushed Vanderbilt, should have crushed Oklahoma, but really that Georgia one. And again, the season won't be decided by Georgia, but if you win it, remember, we always forget, right? people were giving Bama no shot to win that game. Saban's gone. This is the one Kirby's got circled. It's finally going to whoop Alabama's ass. And then, buddy, Bama came out here and put a whooping on Georgia. And Georgia did have an epic comeback. But that's not the point. The point is Bama won the game. And they owe Georgia, so I don't care where that damn game's played. We've even had Brooks Austin on the show. He says he's Georgia through and through.
Yeah.
He says Bama's winning that game. So, man, we'll find out real quick about the Crimson Tide, I think.
You know, and that's one thing. When we did talk Bama, a lot of it went back to the Georgia, went to the LSU, went to the Oklahoma upset. Do you think, by any chance, Mike, that we're overlooking week one Florida State here? I mean, there's a lot of marquee games, a lot of big games that are going to open the season, but you want to talk about the absolute, I mean, just travesty would be losing, I think, to the Seminoles.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'm not overlooking it.
Yeah.
I think you are. Remember the Florida State quarterbacks come out here talking trash? That probably helped Bama more than anything. But the fact he's confident helped Florida State. I know it's a totally new team because of Portal and everything, but 2 years ago, undefeated.
Yeah.
Right there in the chase to win a national championship. Mike Norvell allegedly turned down Alabama. He could be Alabama's coach right now. So I'm not a huge Mike Norvell fan, but he's done some things. He could turn the corner, and that could save his job. It could save the – all of a sudden, Florida State's a contender if they beat Bama. So I think Bama's got the target on their back. Hell, yeah. And not only that, if Bama loses it, epic, epic meltdown. We've asked so many people this week, you know, what's a big game? Auburn-Baylor, LSU-Clemson, Tennessee-Syracuse. Who can not afford a week one loss? We basically don't even have Alabama and Florida State in that conversation. No. But if that's the one, if they lose – I mean, they won't fire him the next day, but they probably should. Because if they ain't beating Florida State, I don't know who they're beating in this conference. They're not going to win many games.
And I've worded it different to several different, you know, personalities that's come through here, and none of them have taken the bait. And I just don't think you can sleep. This will not be the same Florida State team, just as it's not the same Alabama team. There are a lot of new places, new faces, you know. And week one – crazy shit happens, and I think it just derails all the momentum that Alabama gained last year. If you drop one to a Florida State team that people remember, you know, basic dog shit and two wins, you know?
Right. Hey, shout out Corporate Duck, Shane, comment of the night so far. Don't sleep on FSU. I'm in a coma. That was a great one. All right, so who else here, Shane? Who else? Than them Oklahoma Sooners, Shane. Brent Venables and company trying to rebound. John Mateer's here. He's already a rock star. I don't know if you caught this yet, Shane. We all, you know, Archmania, Paul Feinbaum shaking hands. That went viral. See who else shook Paul Feinbaum's hands going viral now?
Mm-mm.
John. Who else? No. So, again, whatever Arch can do, I can do better. You know, that's the vibe I'm getting from John Mateer. And, man, there are some rights to be wronged here with them Oklahoma Sooners. And this is another one where they got a hell of an opening slate here with Michigan coming to town, with Auburn coming to town. We got to go 2-0, really got to start 5-0. But it's, you know, the only two we're really worried about, maybe at Temple, just because it's how many cheesesteaks we're going to be eating that trip is the only thing. But, man, there was a lot of enthusiasm with the Sooners today. Nobody seems to know what to make of them, but I think confidence is high that the Sooners can correct what went wrong last year.
I would venture to say that this is the team with the highest ceiling, lowest floor. Like, if you're looking at the space in between, because of – we'll talk to some folks. I'm not going to give names. You'll see the interview at some point that have dubbed this a potential SEC champion. And then we have some that says – Venable's getting fired after this one, you know, so it's like extreme high, extreme low. You know, obviously they gained a lot of momentum in the offseason, not with just some of the hires that they made, but more importantly, the players they brought in. Hell, I thought John Mateer would have been 8 foot tall by the time he came in here, you know, but looked good, sounded good, brother. I'm a believer. I'm in that camp that Oklahoma is back. And That makes things very interesting because Oklahoma has a tough schedule, and you're looking at their schedule. You can find some teams that can't afford to lose that Oklahoma is going to do exactly that. They're going to – I don't think they're winning an SEC championship, but I do think that we get into November and they play their cards right. This could be a team that makes a run.
Now, that's nice to say.
Yeah.
But last year the narrative was – Oklahoma ready for the conference. Mm-hmm. They sure as hell weren't. So what's different this year? I don't know. Well, it's a lot of talk. They actually got to go out and do it. But I thought this was the highlight of what Brett Venables had to say. Life in the SEC, found out it sure as hell is different.
What was your takeaway playing the first year in the SEC?
Well, that's how long you got. In many ways, it was exactly like I thought. And again, it's a one-possession league. It's a league that's determined at the line of scrimmage. There's elite players on every single team that you're going to play at every single position that you're going to play. If you show up on a Saturday and you're not ready to play, you're going to get it handed to you. I know this, that if you give it, you know, give the ball back more than you take it away, you're gonna have a hard time winning. And just elite coaching and elite players across the board. The venues, which I anticipated. I've been to several places, but to go as a head coach at Oklahoma first time, obviously, I think the average SEC attendance is a nation-leading 79,000 and some change. And every patch of grass is occupied when they kick off on a Saturday. So the venues were fantastic. They're just what they're made up to be. And the margin for error is really, really small. That's what I know. But competitive depth, I think top to bottom, you know, is really, really good. And whether or not that's matched in college football, I'll let you all figure that out. But it's really good.
All right, Shane, if you had to put your confidence level 1 to 10, 1 being low, 10 being high, confidence that Oklahoma is finally SEC.
Seven. I feel like there's a last year was a temporary setback for a major comeback. Yeah, I feel like that was kind of the narrative, and maybe because we just got done talking with the Oklahoma boys. You know me, I'm an emotional picker, and I'm thinking he's right. They are right. There were so many bad luck scenarios that fail toward Oklahoma that I think we kind of just lump it all in. If half of that would have went their way, I feel like last year could have been a better season. Yeah, I just don't think 2 years in a row Lady Luck's going to be totally against them, and because of that, I'm a little higher on them Sooners.
I know who else you're high on, Shane.
Who's that?
Cousin Dakota, because he gave us $10. Better get on that boat train, Mike. Clown suits are awaiting. But maybe Drake can convince me of that come tomorrow. Tomorrow's Mizzou Day.
Hell yeah.
Cousin Chase Moore, broke Oklahoma 6-6 for the third time in 4 seasons. Again, if they do, man, we're going to have to stop, you know, wondering if they're ready. But can they ever be ready? So I think that's a fair, legitimate question. Under Venables' watch, by the way. Hey, Cousin Rick, $20.
Oh, baby.
Time
Thank
for
you,
the top
cuz.
Teams tomorrow. Bye. The hell out of Notre Dame. Man, A&M, man, that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I think them Texas boys, they're pissed that they had to wait till Thursday to get this one, you know. but, hey, there's another one that's coming in that's kind of in that middle pack that really is picking up some buzz around this radio road.
Yeah. All right, Shane.
Yeah.
Third team to hit on here. Shout out Michael Riley in the comments. I see you there. Florida Gators, and man, our opinions split on these Gators, Shane. Like, Shane are out, get the hell out of here with Billy Napier. People like me, give that man an extension. He's deserved it. Come on, they turned it around, Shane. But, you know, interesting, we can't share everything because we were kind of told this off the record, but some concern. I know we are kind of put this out there, but we're not just trying to continue the narrative. Sounds like DJ Lagway, there are concerns remain now, not from Napier, not from Lagway himself. Every time they've asked, they've said the contrary. But what we're hearing, there's still legitimate concerns. What did that change anything for you?
No, because that was a factor on why I'm
there.
I'm already there. I can't make them any worse. I do think that this is a better football team, and you know there are some just there's just some big question marks, man. I can't come out here and say they should be better. Well, I've been saying about that with the Florida Gators. Definitely last year, I was back in on the Florida Gators until they just, you know, shit the bed is basically what I saw. And, yes, there was some improvement late in the season, but was it enough to carry over into this season? Kind of. But then it's skewed because of quarterback injury questions. And it's not just one injury. It's multiple injuries, you know. So, yeah, I'm a little worried.
What if – I mean, at worst case, I hate talking injuries. I don't want to speak it into an existence. But let's say Florida has to rely on a ground game and defense.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably what that's what Billy Napier wants to do anyway.
Right.
I keep saying Jaden Ball. I think he's the breakout star of the SEC. Let's say Florida can run the ball at a high clip. Defense has turned a corner like it did late last. Let they carry that over.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, I think some of these games. Like, let's say we get DJ 100% by November 1.
Yeah.
Could we still have a really good year if that's the scenario?
Yeah. I mean, again, there's still some landmines out there. Ole Miss, you can't pencil that as a win. Tennessee, Volunteers, you know, big bad Tennessee.
Easy win.
They're going to drain the swamp. I saw somebody comment that earlier. And then – again, Florida State, the team we were just talking about, Alabama, not overlooking. I don't think we can just write them off, you know, at the end of the season either. So, no, this is the toughest schedule in the country, in my opinion. And, unfortunately, they got it, you know. Billy Napier on a make-or-break season has the toughest road ahead.
Well, you shouted out Foul Ming, $2. Joey Swagular going to drain the swamp. Book it. I know you love that. And shout out, we missed this one, Bishop Frank, Dr. Newark. All receipts, Sooners fame, are coming due, period. So, Billy, and Ken's a Gator. He says Billy's 10-14 in the SEC. Man, and there's legitimate hype around that program, but that is depressing to think about with that record. You know what?
Yeah. Doesn't it feel like this is kind of a prove-it grouping? You know, we talked about DeBoer wanting to take that next level, wants to get that saving off his back. It's a prove-it year. You know, you could go down to Florida Gators. This is the final season. This is the last dance down there in Gainesville. I feel like this is a prove-it year. You just talked about all the players you were able to keep from that 2023 class. You've built this thing up for this showing. It's a prove-it year. And then Oklahoma, another one. Venables, he embraces the pressure. He thinks about it every single day. You know, he says the right stuff. But, brother, it's words. It's time to put up or shut up. And I feel like that's what we're seeing this year, or especially from these group.
Hmm. And then the last team here for today on Media Day is Mississippi State. And I hate to – I mean, we just report the news, right?
Yeah.
I think the most common question Jeff Lebby got was about players that transferred out. And they were like, hey, how about this receiver A&M picked up? You know, it was A&M people are asking him about this.
Yeah.
Missouri people, hey, how good's Kevin Coleman? All these guys that exited the program, people want to know basically who we plucked off your roster. How good were those guys? That wasn't the only thing he was asked, but that was the main thing. And that just kind of puts it in perspective of what Mississippi State right now uphill battle. Now things change because we got the revenue share now.
Yeah.
But we didn't have it a year ago, and the results were, you know, what silver linings we had. Michael Van Buren was another one. Hey, coach, how great is Michael Van Buren? Like, dude, he didn't want to talk about someone that just left, but that was the main thing I was hearing from him.
And, Mike, I'm not calling out any of the media, but that's some of the dumbest questions I've ever heard, seriously. And one of the ones I heard one was asked to Billy. They asked him about the LSU, you know, how big that game was, blah, blah, blah. But then they asked, how good do you think Jack's going to be? You know, it's like, what? Of course, Napier went on to tell you how important that LSU win was and the momentum that they picked up. He said he started feeling it around Tennessee and then at Kentucky, and then it kind of snowballed. And then I kept waiting for the Jack comment to get answered, and he just ignored it completely. So, come on, guys. You can do better than that.
Cousin Shane, his fourth media days, is giving lessons to the media.
I know.
Right?
I'm these young kids, you know what I'm saying. Yeah, these whippersnappers. You know, when we got here, we were the young ones, you know. It felt like we were what's this place called? It's not called Radio Row anymore. He said it was electronic.
Digital Drive?
Digital Drive, yeah. We were one of the first podcasters to come in here.
We turned it digital.
It completely flip-flopped now. So we still got some radio dudes, but, yeah, these kids don't care. They'll just ask you what they think.
So, hey, let's Mississippi State again. I don't want to just completely overlook them. Where's a game that they could steal? Again, not that you're guaranteeing it, but – most likely to steal, and I'm talking strictly conference play here, but you know, because our narratives have changed. I think we've kind of talked about this, but maybe things have changed with one or two of these teams. Where's Mississippi State most likely to find a win in the conference?
Well, the last time they were in Arkansas, I think that was a sweet showing there. What was it, 7-6 or something?
7-3.
I think. I'd probably put that one on the list, but also I don't think Mississippi State's going to have trouble moving the ball, so.
Well, you're so low on Florida.
Well, I mean, I was looking at it. That's a perfect scenario for Mississippi State. You know, if things are going sideways after a bye week, you go down there to the swamp. This is a team that's going to be a ground and pound, kind of try to keep the clock moving. You know what Billy likes to do. He keeps scores close. And who knows, a couple drives go State's way, that may be the one that you get.
All the cousins, fire some questions at us here. You know, again, we ran through all the teams. I don't want this to be shorter. But how about it, Shane? Because it is Oklahoma time, and you teased it, but I'll just tell the audience. We had someone come over here predict Oklahoma to win the SEC, and it wasn't one of the Sooner Scoop guys. They actually laughed at that. So it wasn't a Hober pick by any means, but – let's check it out real quick. Again, Oklahoma schedule. You talk about Florida's schedule. Theirs is pretty gauntlet, too. 24-1 odds right now, which is not insane.
Yeah.
I remember Mississippi State one year had 40-1, and that was when they were number one in the nation. So, again, 24-1 odds to win the SEC. How much of that MyBookie money are you willing to put? Again, you get an instant 100% deposit match with that promo code SEC. How much would you be willing to bet on Oklahoma, 24-1 to win the SEC?
Oh, $100, not much. I do think – somebody asked me earlier kind of what I thought about Oklahoma. I could see Oklahoma as a 8-9 win. I like the over. Like, the best bet is just going the over, but winning the SEC, man, I'm not putting too much money in that one. $100, seriously.
Put $1,000 on it, $24,000.
Well, yeah, that's how math works, Mike. I mean, if I ate 1,000 calories every day, I'd be the size of flying Hawaiian over here.
I'm just saying, wouldn't it be nice to have that much money in your bank after John Mateer goes wild here?
I don't know about you, buddy. I don't know what money you're holding back, but $1,000 is a lot of money. So
it's a lock. Come on.
Yeah.
No, it's not a lock. But I don't know. Anything else? I mean, that I'm still kind of stunned by that comment. You know what?
No, again – prove it. That was the theme today for me, and I didn't get it from the coaches. I wasn't expecting too many great clips from DeBoer and Billy Napier and Brent Venables and Jeff Levy, but you know, talking about these teams this week, you know, these are teams that some are expecting to take huge steps forward. You know, there's some that are going to project Bama to win the SEC. There's going to be some that project Oklahoma to be in that 9-10 win max. There's some. Now, I'm not saying there's a whole bunch, but I do think, and even with Florida Gators, you're high on the Florida Gators. You've convinced me that they could be that special team, and I just feel like the coaches that came in here had some of the most pressure in the country right now, and it's a prove it season for them. So, yeah, we look back. There were some dudes in here, Mateer, DJ. These guys, I feel like, could be absolute ballers this season, but a lot of pressure on those quarterbacks they brought in.
Cousin Benny's got a bet for me, Shane. Mike, I'll bet you 1,000 pennies that Mississippi State will lose to Toledo this year.
Bet you what?
1,000 pennies.
Well, that's, what, 10 bucks?
I'll ride with State. Come on. We're beating Toledo. I think at worst, Mississippi State goes 3-1 in the non-conference. With the only one I'm really concerned about is Arizona State.
I'm worried about Mississippi State. I'm worried about them not winning a game. Not a game, an SEC game, I should say.
Why do you always pick on these? No, that's what I'm saying, non-conference, 3-1. Yeah. Southern Miss, Alcorn, NIU.
Will they win a game beyond September 20th?
No.
Damn. Why do you hate Jeff Levy so much? And you just got all those cowbells. You can't ring them if they're not winning.
But I just said they're going 3-1 in the non-conference. That's a better record than last year.
Yeah, yeah. But still, it's not good. It's not acceptable.
No, but yeah. I mean, what else is going to happen when they get all their players plugged? Sven said they're beating Tennessee.
Well, you do it by winning. You know what I'm saying? You do it by winning. You can't dub, I was almost there with Georgia, or I was almost there at Tennessee. Close games don't matter. You know, you've got to win an SEC matchup. If Jeff Lebby goes 2 years without an SEC win, brother, there shouldn't be another coach higher than him on the fire hot list, you know?
Hey, Cousin Bo's got a great point. Billy Napier, just a few coaches away from being elite. Remember how many coaches he's got?
Yeah.
Got like 200 coaches on staff.
I know. We got rid of the defensive coordinator. I was hoping he would, like, put him somewhere else on the staff, you know?
They don't even play Toledo. I don't know why he said that then.
By the way, the food sucked today. I don't know if you went in there. Yeah, you did.
You were down on the food?
Yeah, it was not good.
I'll tell you, I enjoyed both salads I ate. So that's
here we go.
It was good. It was good if you like salads.
I like potato salad, tuna salad, you know, but none of that salad that was going on in there. David Nuno, that was like his thing. I was like, man, he's going to love it in here today. Grilled chicken, grilled pork. Nah, this one was the least.
Any other food thoughts? So we're about to go to dinner. Are you eyeing the dish?
Yeah,
you could maybe get.
Yeah, it's with all that chicken and pork I had today, I'm going beef.
Or let me ask you this. Yeah. Maybe this. I'm sorry to cut you off, but because we can finish that thought. But maybe what I really should ask you is how long have you been thinking about that dinner? First of all, and then. Secondly, what you'll get.
Well, Flying Hawaiian sent the reservation. What was that, John? Like 10 o'clock? So 10:05. I've been addressing
thinking about it that long?
Well, it was touch and go because I didn't know what we were going to have here. But then I saw that spread, I was like, at least I've got this. That's a look ahead to.
Bo says we need some chicken fried steaks smothered in country gravy.
Hell yeah. Why don't they have that? We're in Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah, you think they'd have a little bit better food. You know what?
They've been nailing it all week. This one here, that it's almost like they're cleaning out the refrigerator. So I'm hoping tomorrow's a good day.
All right, any other thoughts, Shade?
Just a reminder, next week we got some new shows coming your way, so be sure to check that out. We got a lot of awesome interviews. I'm telling you guys, so much freaking content coming your way, and with some big – I mean, some of your favorite people. So be sure to have those notifications on. Soon as Mike gets back, he's going to work tirelessly to make sure that you get these. And we'll get all these interviews to you. So, reminder, show next week's going to be 7:30 starting Monday. Our show will go back to regular time, 7 p. Eastern time. So
let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
This is weird to me. And it did happen. I don't want to bragging or something or shout out a guy because I don't know if they want me to be saying it, but is it weird to you that there's a lot of people come up to us, even people that are like on TV that are like true professionals, that they're like, hey, I love your show, Cousin Shane's so funny. One guy came over and said he's running on the beach, he had to stop for making him laugh. So isn't it weird that, again, 4 years ago There was a lot of people that were great to us, like Rusty. Yeah. You know, people went out of their way. I'm not saying they didn't, but vast majority of people had no friggin' clue who we were. And now we got people on TV saying they watch us. And
yeah.
We got people falling over, listening. I mean, how wild is that?
It is wild, but I don't want to skirt why they're listening. The reason they got there is because the cousins spreading the word. You know, they're telling their friends, telling their coworkers about this dumbass show with this big dumb chain and his cousin Mike. I don't know if they're really related, but you know, when we started the show, Mike, I wanted it to stay the same. I wanted it to be like, if you remove the cameras, we're sitting there in the living room and we're talking about Team A or Team B. I think that's why it's authentic. I walk on this radio row and I hear the same questions to Greg Sankey, same questions to Billy Napier. And it's just like, nah, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear what we really, what we talk about behind closed doors. Now that sometimes I feel like it was going to get us in trouble, but somehow we keep, of course we never have Greg Sankey on because I don't want to be like, oh, there they are, you know, but again, back to the original point, Mike. The reason the show has grown is because of the cousins spreading the word, and I appreciate every single one of them for giving us the ability to talk college football to more people.
Yeah, and no, I think you're 100% right, because when we get people over here, usually when we start with the interview, I can tell people are like a little taken aback by the questions, you know, out of left field, and we're not asking about quarterback competitions and things of that nature, but yeah, we're trying to do it a little bit differently. We are piecing this thing together. There's a lot of duct tape over here. I mean, they already saw. I already cleaned one bottle off the table. We got trash and wires, and I mean, it is a mess over here. But we're trying.
Not name dropping, but I am Josh Pate. He said, "I knew a zinger was coming my way when you started to smile before you said it." It's like he literally could see the thought going in my brain there. So
hey, shout out Johnny Utah. What a name. Is
hell yeah.
Kiff as Purdy up close in person as when he's standing on the sidelines?
Kiff ain't got time for us nobodies up here.
We ask every year. I guess I probably should say that. And we haven't had him yet, so.
No. He follows the show. I do know he listens, you know, but he does. He does not have time to come up here and holler at us on radio. Or anybody, be honest. He just doesn't come up to this section.
That's true.
Him and Paul Feinbaum's bromance takes too long, so they ain't got time.
We'll get us some interns. Kiffin will come up here in a heartbeat. All right, I think that's going to do it for this episode. Shane, again, don't forget to check out mybookie.ag. That's the website. Promo code SEC, simple as it gets, 100% instant deposit match this week only. Take care of our friends over at MyBookie because they are taking care of us and helping us pay for this very expensive trip that it takes every year. But we're happy to do it because we're happy to give you this coverage and lots more to come. Thank you to each and every one of you for checking us out. We'll catch you tomorrow to wrap up SEC Media Days.
All right. See you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.